Welcome to Pursuing Biblical Masculinity, a podcast where we explore God's Word to uncover the disciplines we need to live out our faith. Our heart is to help men not just know Scripture, but to be able to put it into practice so that they can stand firm in the faith. So this week, we are beginning part one of a two-part podcast on what is biblical masculinity. In the first part, we are going to talk about how we ended up where we are today with the current worldview of what masculinity is and what the correct biblical response should be. Well, as the world grows and as humanity begins to develop more and more and more, we see a decline in religion. This is the secularization process, where religion becomes more privatized, where people begin to leave the church, but then they find their hope, they find their peace, they find their religion in other forms instead of the church. We've seen this process take place over hundreds of years, especially here in the West. As humanity has grown and as they've learned, they've looked to man as the final authority instead of God. And as this process takes place, we begin to see cultural norms change. And we begin to see a lot of shifts in what are the core values of a culture. And as society progresses, sometimes in a very good way, for instance, we can look at the beginning roots of, you know, the feminist movement, where at their core, they were fighting for equal rights for women because women were disadvantaged with respect to those rights and they were treated less than men. But it never stops at that initial goal because progress has to continue. And as we move further into culture, we need to find other things to progress. And it's no longer okay just to stop at our initial goal, but we need to continue to move forward. In today's culture, we have a lot of people who are really living within this victim mindset or a neo-Marxist mindset of oppressor versus the oppressed. And for a lot of people in our culture, the oppressor group are men, and specifically white Christian males. And we have to fight against that oppressive group within this context because they are the authority. They are the reason that we have problems in this world. And a man has been defined as somebody who is dominant, somebody who is ruthless, somebody who doesn't care, somebody who has power and is willing to use that power only for their good. And the only way that the oppressed group can take over is to dismantle those traditional and oppressive institutions and institute something new. Problem with this struggle is that we are making one man final authority, that if we could only overthrow one man and replace it with another man or human or woman, then everything would be okay. And that our value and our worth as an individual comes from who has power. Problem with this worldview is that our value, our dignity, our worth is derived from who has the most power. The person at the top, the person in charge, is the one who has the most value, the one who has the most worth because they're in power. And the oppressed group is seen as the group that has the most righteous standing or the best morals because they are oppressed in the face of this powerful evil group who's in charge. But as we continue down this line, we have to ask ourselves this question. Well, what would happen then if the oppressed group finally became the powerful group? Because oftentimes there's no grace. There is no commonality. There is no reaching across the lines to try to have a conversation. It's once we get in power, we will overthrow and destroy. But then it just turns that group that was in power into a group that is now being oppressed. The results of a worldview like this is a very low view on humanity, a very negative view on gender roles, specifically on who a man is. It's created blurred gender lines where people can just choose their gender. It's created a decline of marriage in the traditional family, which has harmed not just people, but children. It's created cultural chaos. The saddest part is the oppression still continues on both ends.
and has led to helplessness and hopelessness in our culture. One of the responses to this increased secularization has been what I'd call a warped biblical worldview. This idea that men are somehow superior to women because of incorrect reading of the biblical text, where all women must submit to all men, and we pull out models within scripture and point to these people as godly examples of masculinity. People like Samson, who had big muscles, were warriors, were fighters. But if we look more closely at the model of Samson's life, we can see that he was not really the best example of masculinity. And the result of a worldview like this is also very negative. We end up seeing a very low view of femininity. Women are not treated the way that God had desired for them to be treated. We see bad doctrine, bad teachings, and a bad witness to the world that makes Christianity look as if it's something that doesn't care about women, that sees men as this oppressive group. It leads to this male dominance and female oppression. It leads to toxic masculinity, and it contradicts God's word in how he gives value to all of humanity. Each of these worldviews, whether it's a secular worldview or whether it's a warped biblical worldview, leave people marginalized and less than. So the question is there a better approach? Is there a better way? Is there a better idea of how we handle gender roles and specifically who men should be? Is there a better definition of what a man is? The good news is there is. Biblical Christianity does give us a very strong example and a very strong case for who a man is called to be. If we start at the beginning, we can see that God made man in his image, both male and female. And it is because of this truth that both genders have inherent value and dignity. Just because of that. See, our identity, our value, our worth, our dignity is not something that we have to take from somebody else in order to get. It's not something that we have to earn from our culture. Our value and our worth as individuals, as humans, comes from the simple fact that we are made in the image of God. It is given to us. So if both male and female are image bearers, does this mean that we have equal roles, that everything we do has to be the same? That's the beauty of this as well. No, we don't have to have everything equal in a sense that we all are exactly the same or have to do things the exact same way. God has given each of us unique roles in the world and in our relationships. And the role that God has placed over men is the role of headship. Now, it's easy to hear that term and go, okay, I see where you're going. You're going to say that men are in charge and men are the ones who are supposed to lead only and do it on their own. But that's an incorrect view of headship. Men have not been given this role because they're somehow more valuable. God does not see them as more valuable. But God gave them this role because that's what he chose to do. It's about God's order. Now, there's a lot of people who will also look at the male headship and say, well, that's a result of the fall. But again, this is something that's false if we look at scripture, if we look at the biblical text. You see, Adam's headship was established before the fall. He was made before Eve. Eve was made for Adam. It says that God made a helper suitable for him, a helper to surround him, to work with him. Eve was brought to him. Eve was named by Adam. Now, these are not examples of Adam's dominance over Eve, but it's Adam's role in the relationship. And if we look at this in the right lens, and if we walk through this in a way that honors Scripture, we can see that the result of this worldview, of seeing humanity as made in the image of God, and we see biblical headship in the way that it was intended to be, it actually allows for us to have respect and dignity for each other. It allows us to find freedom in the roles that God has called us to. and to live in a way that honors God, but also honors those around us and give us real purpose.
If you're a man looking to grow deeper in your faith and to really faithfully live out the principles of biblical masculinity, one great way to do that is through coaching and having a coach and a mentor in your life that will help guide you in that process. If this is something that you're interested in, you can check us out at reformedandredeemed.org and sign up for your free discovery session today.